Psalm 36, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. I don't know if your Bible's got that in it or not. Not every Bible's got those introduction things, but the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before his eyes. And that's what David said when he looked at the transgression of the wicked. It makes you think in your heart they don't have any fear of God before their eyes. How can somebody just transgress against God brazenly like that? Have no fear of God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, another verse says this, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And when he's talking about the lost there. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 11, and Abraham said to Abimelech when he was down there and he got in trouble because of Sarah, and he had said she was his sister, and Abimelech said, what have you done to us here? You know, why'd you do this? Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And in the verses after that, Abimelech said, what did you see? What did you see? What did you see here that you thought there was no fear of God? And that's a common thread among all the different ways that the devil works to take away the effectiveness of the gospel. He works on that right there to get people to not fear God. Just take away the fear of God. The song they just sang there, you know, I was thinking while they were singing that, used to preachers preached on hell a lot. A lot more people made professions of faith back when they preached on hell a lot. When they preached on sin and condemnation and judgment and chastisement. You know, that used to be subjects in Baptist churches, and it wasn't too long ago. But you don't hear that anymore, do you? You don't hear much of that. You don't hear much about hell at all. You hear very little about judgment. You don't hear anything about chastisement. I mean, all you hear is what? How much God loves you. Yes. And how God is so forgiving. And he's so loving and kind. And you can just about do anything you want. He's not going to do nothing about it. You're not going to suffer for it because God's just good. And he's love and he's kind. And, you know, if you tell anybody any different, they think you're a hate monger now. You're a hater. Man, it's amazing how things have got turned upside down now. And the ones who love are the haters. And the ones who hate they're the ones who everybody thinks they love, but they don't. Mercy. What happened to all these people that were talking about tolerance before Trump came along? Remember those same people that are so full of hatred and bile? They were all about tolerance. They care so much about the little kids down at the border that they don't even know what's going on. I mean, those little kids are being used and sold like animals and abused and everything else. But they want to make everybody believe that they care so much about them. But they sure don't care about babies in the womb or right after they're born. And they hate. But we've got everything turned upside down here. If you listen to people, you know, like these preachers on TV and that are so popular, like Joel Osteen and all the Word of God or Word of Faith preachers, you know, I've got a word from God, those kind of preachers. You ain't going to hear nothing but positive messages of affirmation for everyone. When you go to hear them preach, and not just them. I mean, it's just about everywhere. Independent Baptist churches are they're the same way. They just word it a little bit different and approach it it's all about removing the fear of God from people. No one's condemned for anything because after all, we're all the same. We're just sinners. And we're not supposed to judge. We ain't got no right to judge. That's the gospel now. So there's no need to fear. God loves you. Jesus loves you. You can be a fornicator on TV and God, Jesus still loves me. No worries about it. Even though the Bible plainly says that no fornicator is going to heaven. Whatever you ever how you want to pare your doctrine and dice it up, the Bible says that straightforwardly. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, adulterers, blah, 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 blah. The whole list is given. Is that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is. So how does it get so twisted around that people can sit in church, people can stand behind the pulpit, they can do everything in the world, in the church, work of God, and be living in fornication, adultery, other things, other sins, and it don't matter. It just doesn't matter. You can't condemn them. You can't condemn me because Jesus loves me. Where did the love of God, when did that ever override and do away with the fear of God? So perfect love casts out fear. No, not that kind of fear. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I mean, you don't know nothing if you don't fear God. Everyone is encouraged and reassured that God loves them all the time. And that no matter what they do or how they live, God will be with them. God is with you no matter what you do. Well, now, you know, I've read the Bible a lot of times, and when I've studied, I don't find that. I don't find that at all. God's not with you no matter what you do. Right. We were reading this morning about, was it Elijah? Yes. And Ahab's son and Jehoshaphat came to him. And he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even so much as give you the time of day. That's what he said, really. He said, I wouldn't even look at you. I told her, I said, now how's that for love and kindness from the prophet? Well, this joker was an evil man. He come there accusing God. God brought us down here just to get us, just to deliver us into the hands of the Moabites. That's what he said. And then when he got down there to the prophet, he said the same thing. And this king, you know, king of Israel, blaming God for getting them in this pickle, and it was his idea to start with. And I got down there and it looked bigger than he thought it was going to be. And he said, oh no, God's brought us down here to kill us. Then they go to the prophet and he tells him that. And the prophet said, you know, really, is this kind of like, you make me sick. You disgusting human being. I wouldn't even look at you if it wasn't for him here. Yeah, that's right. You think that's wrong to be that way? No. David said, do not I hate them that hate thee? Now the way it is, no fear of God, you're supposed to love not only your own enemies, but the enemies of God. You love the enemies of God. Love them with this love like they talk about, this warm, fuzzy human love. No, that ain't the way it is in the Bible. The prophets didn't do that. Boy, they was rough. Man, when it come to a wicked king or something in front of them, I mean, boy, they didn't soft pedal. They didn't compromise. They didn't sweet talk them. They didn't carefully frame their words. They just spit it right out there. Jesus called Herod a fox. You go tell that fox. And when he was begging Jesus to do a miracle, Jesus wouldn't even talk to him. Wouldn't even answer him. No, we got it all mixed up. People fear man, but they don't fear God. They want the approval of man, but not, they don't care, but they think they got the approval of God no matter what happens. God's nothing but kind and giving, and he never runs out of patience, and he'll always put up with whatever you do, and then take you to heaven too, besides all that. This man, what a sweet deal. If you listen to the easy believism gospel, you'll find basically the same beliefs just stated in different terms. And that is the truth. If you'll just sit down and think about it and listen to it a little bit, you'll see what I'm talking about. Just about all religion, when you analyze it and reduce it down to the basic common denominator, it all does the same thing, same basic thing. It removes the fear of God from the minds and the hearts of the people. I wonder how many of us here tonight really fear God. Or do you just think, He'll take care of me. He'll always be there for me. God will never be angry with me. I can do anything I want and He'll just be okay. He'll forgive me. Do you think that way? Have you ever entertained the thought of, what if He don't? What if He cuts me off? What if I turn out to be a castaway? What if God just cuts it off and won't talk to me no more? Now, we don't think He'd do that. Well, He sure does. He does it all in the Bible. There's plenty of examples where God cut them off. They live in a realm of false confidence that God will put up with them forever, no matter how they treat Him. People do that with one another. And then they find out they went too far. So, you know, they don't believe in a God that would judge sin or punish anyone. So, really, basically, you got to understand that they're idolaters, really. To cause a person not to fear God is a very evil thing. There's no way that you can know God and not fear Him. Now, if you're just religious and your God's just an imagination of your heart, sure. You can have a God that don't scare you or have any, or you don't fear at all that way. If we were in the presence of God suddenly here tonight, you would fear. That'd be the first thing that would overwhelm you. The Bible shows us that over and over and over through all of its pages. Every person, every man that ever found himself in the presence of God was dumbfounded with fear. Fell on his face. The first words God has to say to somebody is, fear not. Fear not. Because they're going to be afraid. So this God that nobody fears, He's an imaginary God. He's not the real God. And if you can just get people to believe that God is this imaginary God, then they're not going to fear Him. Then there's going to be no breaks on them either. When you cause a person not to fear God, it's an evil thing you have done. And to cause a person not to fear sin is to cause them not to fear God. When you lighten it up and make it a joke, when you make it a common thing, when you make it a universal thing that everybody has, everybody participates, everybody does it, you just make it so common, and nobody's exempt, and there's no way you can avoid it, and if you say you ain't, your liar, when you get it to that kind of atmosphere and climate, there ain't gonna be no fear of God. Because there ain't no fear of sin. Sin's not a terrible thing. It's a common thing. Yep. God punishes sin. So if a person comes to believe that they can sin and get away with it, then they have come to a place where they have no fear of God. You have to. There's no other way around it. The fear of the Lord stops you from sinning. When you're under temptation and you're being enticed and you're being drawn, you have to come to a place where you just turn away from God. Or you brainwash yourself with the help of the devil and everybody else. It'll help you. And going to church, most of the places you go to church, they'll help you to brainwash yourself into thinking that I can do this and get away with it. God ain't going to do nothing to me. I mean, look at so-and-so did it. Everybody else does it. I mean, I know some preachers done it. They're still, I can do it too. How do you do it? How do you step over it? You do away with the fear of God. This is what's happening all around us. And it's a big part of the reason that we're seeing so many people, both young and old, just forsake the ways of God and plunge off into gross sin. Somehow they've come to believe that it doesn't matter. And that whatever the consequences are, they'll be fixed real easy. They can sin and it don't matter. I can get forgiven. And besides, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Everybody does it. No fear of sin. You don't really think it's going to happen that way. You're going to be the smartest. You're the smartest human that's ever lived. Everybody else it's happened to, but not you. You figured out a way. Somehow they've come to believe that it doesn't matter. Whatever the consequences are, there ain't going to be no consequences. But the effects and the consequences of sin can't be fixed so easily. You know, sin can be forgiven, but its effects are not reversed. They're not. We've talked about this a lot. You know, you murder somebody, they're dead. You go to God and get forgiven. You go to their family and they forgive you. He's still dead. You can still go to his grave where you put him. He don't come back to life. What you did don't get undone. There's a lot of things, you know, diseases and scars from the drugs that are still in your body. And the memory, what about that? The memory will still contain scenes of the vile and wicked things you've done. And it'll pull them up before your mind at random times from now on. That's one of the consequences of sin you ain't thinking about. When you just forget about God and forget about your loved ones and forget about everything you've ever been told and bail off in it, you ain't thinking about the fact that this is going to torment you the rest of your life. You're going to look back on it and it's going to be shameful to you. You ain't going to be proud of it like you are when you're entering in. All the true results of sin are neglected and not talked about and warned about. So people come to believe that fixing sin is just as simple as asking God to forgive you and everything's back to zero again. Simple. People don't fear God because they don't fear sin. Sin's a joke. Fools make a mock at sin, but we got a lot of fools. Sure do. They laugh about it. They laugh at anybody who would say that it's wrong. It's a shame now to even call it a sin. Well, sin's all outdated. Don't you know that? That's something that the old-fashioned people talked about. We don't have sin now. You can't call it that. They laugh at you. They laugh at the word sin. That's why there's no fear of God before their eyes. And to represent God properly is a hard task for all of us. You know, for a preacher, it's especially hard to maintain the right balance between the love and the mercy and the long-suffering of God and the wrath and the judgment of God. Have you ever thought about it? It's kind of hard to, because people don't listen. They won't listen to the whole counsel. They just listen to what they want to. They're there to pick out what they want to listen to, and the rest they chunk. They ignore. You know, they like to listen to the love and forgiveness and the long-suffering and the forbearance of God and all that and His, you know, how wonderful all that is. They'll swallow that. But you give them a dose of the judgment of God and the fear of God, they reject that. They use that against you. So that's why most preachers have dropped that part of it. That's why it's not a part of any Sunday school lessons or anything else anymore. It's not a part of the conversation of Christians. You know, everybody's saved now. And if you're saved, you know, you're going to heaven no matter what you do. So make your little profession. You're saved, saved forever. And that's drilled into people, no matter if they've shown any fruits, any fruits meet for repentance or not? Got to keep them saved because they're a member of the church. Oh well, somebody will stumble on that one. There's a balance you got to keep. We got to preach a gospel that offers forgiveness and redemption and salvation. That's what we're here for. That's what this is about. And without that, we have nothing to tell and nothing to offer. I mean, I look around and I see all kinds of people in terrible shape. Boy, they need a message of hope. They need a message that gets them to understand that there's a way out of that darkness and that depression and defeat and hopelessness. Yeah. And that's the wonderful part of the gospel. That's the part that's easy to preach. Well, anybody could not preach that part of it. We got to comfort and encourage and edify one another by teaching that God is good and He'll forgive and He'll redeem our lives from destruction. Oh, that's wonderful. He did come to bind up our wounds and heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. We need a lot of that. But let me tell you something, and you better listen to me. All that is poison to our souls if that is all we get. Yeah. Candy and sweet stuff's good, but if that's all you feed a kid, you're going to have a sick kid. And the same with an adult, too. If all you eat's junk, you're going to be sick. You can't have just part of God, just one side. And if that's all that people hear, it'll deceive them. They'll be deceived. Man, I'm thinking on this thought about how I'm amazed. I just keep seeing examples and things about how the devil is such a, man, he is such a preacher of the word of God. He is skillful at taking the word of God and deceiving people. Man, talks about him deceiving the whole world. I can understand. I'm beginning to understand how that is so. Well, let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. How did we get wounded? And how did we get brokenhearted? And how did we end up in prison, in bondage? If he come to set us free and deliver us from all that, how'd we get there? Sin put us there. That part of the problem has to be dealt with too. And, you know, it's the same old outline that we talk about all the time. The law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. You can't expect somebody to understand about salvation if you don't preach to them first the law of God, and the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make them understand that they have sinned against God and that is their problem. And it has put them in bondage and that they are headed for hell. Eternal punishment. It's got to be that way. But it's not being preached that way. And that's why there's no fear of God in people's eyes anymore. In their hearts and minds. We can't ever leave off the warning about the consequences of sin and the judgment of God that we'll face one day. Sin causes us all kinds of problems here in this life. But that ain't the biggest thing it does. It'll send you to hell forever. Yeah. That's why people used to, you know, more people come to the altar when preachers preached on hell because it scared them. Put some fear of God in them, which is what we're missing now. Nobody goes away from church afraid. Nobody goes away disturbed. It's a rare thing. This what I was talking about a while ago. That lady, she said one of those messages scared her. Well, hallelujah. I'd like to hear some preaching once in a while that'd scare me a little bit. Sober me up. Make me realize, man, I better treat God right. But see, that sounds like heresy in our day. That sounds like work salvation in our day. That sounds like that I'm trying to appease an angry God. No, I'm just telling you, God's God. And we just trifle too much with righteousness and the law of God and sin. We just trifle with it. But how do we keep the fear of God before the minds of people while holding the offer of forgiveness? Well, we must not ever make sin a light matter. Proverbs 14, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. That word is grace. We must not ever ignore sin and pretend that there are no consequences. You know, think about that. How do you teach your children to behave? How do you teach them to do right? Well, you have to punish them for doing wrong. But that's not all you do. And that's not the whole sum of how you train children. It ain't just a whip or a paddle or a switch. No, there has to be love and forgiveness and forbearance and kindness, and all of that has to be there. But you take away either one of them and you're not going to fail. You're going to fail. You just beat the far out of them and angry with them, and all I ever hear is don't, no, and stop, and no, and shut up. And oh, they're going to hate you. And they're going to go away from you. But if all you ever do is just love and hug them and sweetie and oh, I know you didn't mean it and I know you wouldn't do it and I know it was them other kids' fault and I know if you hadn't been around them you wouldn't do it and I know you're just nothing but sugar and spice and everything nice. If you do that, you're going to raise a hellion. You need to love them and hug them and you need to be kind to them and all that. But every once in a while, you need to tan their little hide when it's necessary. When they're little, that's the time to do it. Takes both. It's what God does with us. That's the way He chastens His children. It's kindness and love and instruction. But He can use a rod, and He will. So we can't ever ignore sin and make it and pretend that there's no consequences, and we must always remind ourselves and others that we will one day stand before God and give account of all that we've done in this body. We need to remind ourselves that. You need to remind yourselves every day. What you do today, what you say today, those words, that attitude, what you said, did to people around you, God is keeping a record. And we're going to give account of every idle word we say. Well, I've been forgiven past, present, and future sins, and I ain't got to worry about a thing. No, you swallowed something ain't right. Because you ain't got no fear of God if you got that kind of attitude. What did Abraham see down there? He saw people just living loose, not afraid of nothing, just like what you see around you now. Well, the world is one thing, but the churches are another, and you're seeing the same thing among the churches as you see out there in the world. They just shack and fornicate and swap spouses and everything in the church. It's a common thing now. And they just keep on going like it's just, ain't nothing wrong with this. Well, the Church of Corinth had one guy in there doing that, and Paul said, well, if you don't do something, when I get there, you're going to be sorry. You didn't take care of it. Can't do this. You can't, I mean, the leprosy thing, the leper had to be put out. or else everybody else is going to be ruined. There's consequences of ignoring sin. There's consequences of making it a light matter, or just loving so much that you just don't want to hurt nobody. Well, that's fake love. All the fake news and everything, that's fake love too.
I just love him so much I can't spank him.
No, you're a liar. You love yourself so much that you won't. You don't want to hurt him because it hurts you too much. If you really love him, the Bible says that. It says, it doesn't say spare the rod and spoil the child. The Bible says he that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's what the Bible says. That means he won't use it when he needs to. God killed Eli dead as a hammer because he would not restrain his sons. Knocked him off of the stool he was on, broke his neck. And said plainly, that's why he did it. So that's just not true. If you love somebody like your children, the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. We must not identify with or sympathize with or agree with sin in any way. How are we going to keep the message balanced? How are we going to do this? Well, there's another. You can't identify or sympathize or agree with sin in any way. That's to make it a light matter, and it takes away the fear, of it before God. We can't give the impression that Jesus is not offended with sin. And that's what everybody is doing right now. People don't believe Jesus is offended with sin. See, it's got this deal where God the Father is the one that's bad on sin. Jesus, oh, he's loving and forgiving and kind, and he's okay with it. I mean, he'd rather you didn't do it, but hey, he paid for it. So you're free. This is Christian liberty, you know. Jesus paid for your sins, so now you're free to do it. Free to sin. You say, that's nonsense. That's what these people believe. Yes, true. And because that is exactly what they're practicing. Don't ever separate Jesus from God and set them against one another. God will judge sin, the Father, but Jesus is there to intercede for you. He's your lawyer that defends you against God. What heresy. That's a doctrine of the devil. Let me tell you, Jesus said, me and my Father are one. He said, the Father and me are one. He said it over and over and over. They're one. Just how the Father feels about sin is just exactly how Jesus feels about sin. There ain't no difference. So don't try to... I mean, we can't give people the impression that Jesus is okay when you're sin. Or somehow take away from the gravity of it. A lot of people do that by believing doctrines that make God the Father condemning and Jesus forgiving. No, it's God the Father who forgives you for Christ's sake. Because he died in your place. Then one more thing. We got to always look at the long view of sin and what it leads to and produces. We can't always see the horrible results of sin soon after it's committed. But they appear with time. Again, the leper, you know, all that's a drawn out process, time. When you get to the house, the leprosy in the house, it's the same thing. It takes time. Sin ain't just like that and boy, that's it. I mean, as soon as you sin, I mean, the curtain falls. That ain't how it is. Because judgment is not executed speedily. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, see, fear, gone. They're not afraid to. And you want me to tell you something that helps them to get rid of the fear too? Is watching somebody else do it. bunch of little boys going to go down the hill on a bicycle, going to jump over a ramp. And I remember, you know, how it was.
You do it first.
No, you do it. Well, when somebody did finally do it, then everybody else didn't try. Right?
You're afraid.
I ain't afraid. They're all afraid. But when somebody breaks the ice, breaks through the barrier, then everybody else just has to. And that's how it works with sin, too. You watch somebody, that's how it spreads like it does. And so, here we are, standing in the gap. The Word of God should be preached, and sin should be condemned, warned about. It should be made black and evil and heavy. It should never be made light or laughed about. Was it John R. Rice that preached a message one night about drunks drinking, you know, and he mocked a drunk. He stumbled around with his speech slurred and everything. And everybody's just laughing and carrying on about it, you know. Everybody laughs at a drunk, but he ain't funny. Why does everybody laugh? I think, if I remember the story right, on the way home, they came across a wreck where a drunk driver had killed these people. Somebody died. And he said he would never laugh at that sin again. It's when you really get face to face with it, when it gets close to you and you can smell the smell and you can feel the heat and the, then it ain't so light of a matter. And that's the way it ought to be in church. People ought to, the fear of God is something that ought to be cultivated in church. Yes. But we're not cultivating it. Nobody is. It's a thing that's been lost on this generation. And there's no fear of God. And if Abraham had come walking into our country right now, what do you think he would think? What if he would come into the churches now? Would he say, there's no fear of God in this place? Well, you better believe he would. When he seen how people were acting, he saw the loose morals. He saw the flirtations. I mean, he knew he was in trouble. Sarah was fair to look upon, you know, even if she was 75 years old. Desert life must have been good for him back then. And that's what he was afraid of, and with good reason, because it's exactly what happened. He knew them people didn't have no problems about it. And now we live in a world like that. We go to churches where it's like that. Where there's no safety, no trust. You're suspicious of everybody because there ain't no fear of God. People do anything they get a chance to. They'll do anything they can get away with, and they can get away with anything. Ain't no consequences. It's like Billy Graham's grandson that I was telling you about, you know, starting a new church down there after he got kicked out for being an adulterer multiple times. And that's his deal. You know, Jesus, I read it to Gary, and I can't remember just how he worded it, but Jesus basically paid for all of his sins, and so he was free to do that, and it wasn't no consequence. Jesus loved him anyway. Don't believe that kind of a gospel. You kids better not believe that junk. If you don't think God will make you pay for your sin. Ooh. Well, Jesus paid for my sin. Well, just mark it down what I'm telling you. You go do these terrible things, and then you come back years later and tell me that you didn't cause you no trouble. I mean, it's the best thing you ever did. It improved your life, made you free. Yeah, come tell me that. I've been around long enough to know how it works. And it don't work like that. Regrets are all because of sin. I see some of these worldly people and they say their only regrets is that they didn't do a lot of things they could have done and wanted to do. Baloney. What a lie. That is not true. If you could see in their heart and mind, you'd see what they regret. And it's all their dirty living and immorality and broken up families and broken hearts and the trail of destruction they've left behind them. That's what they regret. Amen. Fear God and keep His commandments. For that's the whole duty of man. Don't let this easy believism, watered down gospel of this generation steal your fear of God. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts. Please help us, Lord, to walk in fear more than we do. And then we're not talking about the kind of fear that it's a different thing. Standing in awe of God. I know you love us. And I know you care for us. And I know you watch over us. And Lord, you provide for us. You protect us. You do all of these things for us. But that doesn't free us to just spit in your face. And walk around as if we can do anything and get away with it. Lord, help us to have an understanding in this matter. And to fear God and keep His commandments. Go with us now, I pray in Jesus' name.